How are we doing today? I am going to bring you just an update from our Saipan church and incorporate that into the message today. So some of y'all have been aware and actually prayed with us, but a super typhoon, Cat 5, ripped through the islands more than a month ago. It actually hit April 14th and 15th. And they called it a slow rolling monster because it was only going about 4 to 5 miles per hour. And it effectively parked its eye wall right over the little island of Saipan. And Elizabeth and I used to marvel because we would get them every year. When we started the church there, we had 6 direct hits. And we were doing Bible studies in the dark, sweating bullets, and the power would be down like a month at a time. And then there's some nations that, you know, they have such issues when the power comes on, instead of, you know, like we would say, the power's out. They go, the power's on, you know, like that was the novelty. But so, you know, we lived in those conditions, but we would marvel because you had just thousands and thousands and thousands of miles of the Pacific Ocean in this little dot called Guam and Saipan and Tinian and Rota and what makes up Micronesia, et cetera. And it's like, with all this vast ocean, it's like, why in the world would it track directly and just hit the island and stop and then churn and then move on? So I don't know if it was some kind of a Gulf Stream effect or whatever, but we have been standing with them. It's been over a month and they still don't have their power fully restored. Water is not yet fully restored, but our pastor there, Pastor Eric Abragan, has really been doing yeoman's work and has really been running point on the island, and he's partnered with Samaritan's Purse and is doing truly just a remarkable job. They have, at our church, Life in the Sun, Saipan, because we planted in Guam, but then we started going out to these smaller islands, and we're in Palau right now. But in Saipan, they have they've already served over 1,600 families so far, not individuals, but whole families. They've been passing out tarps because it's so hot without the power that people sleep outside, and it's just something they can kind of get under. They have been given Starlink access, so that's been good. And so our pastor has put together this mobile office and is going around helping people in the villages to have power, connection to Starlink and you know, passing out Bibles and bringing groceries. They've distributed meals door to door, 550 lunch packs, praying for families, sharing the gospel. They got the church and the youth to write handwritten letters of encouragement. They've provided essentials, on and on and on. So they're really just doing great work, serving and taking opportunity in a very, very distressing moment to try to bring hope, try to bring life. And so they featured it in the local news. They've had all kind of articles, newspaper articles, digital news articles, and then just TV footage. So I'm going to play just a clip here, and then I'll go on from there if you'll play it.
Two churches unite with a humanitarian group to send out a message of hope during tough times.
Hi, guys. How are you guys doing?
Good. Nearly 1,000 tarps and solar lights were distributed by Life in the Sun Christian Fellowship and the Korean Presbyterian Church in partnership with Samaritan's Purse. Pastor Eric Abrigan says they stepped up to the plate after seeing the devastation around the island.
We saw the need, and it, you know, really something that we wanted to do as far as helping the community. And it was so good that Samaritan's Purse also came, and they provided the tarps and the lights. And they needed help with volunteers and manpower. So the churches were tapped. And then as a body of Christ, we work with two churches work together. And this is Korean Presbyterian Church and Life in the Sun. To help the communities here in Chinatown, in Garapan, and also the wider community or villages.
Pre-registered residents were able to avail to the package from the group.
We came up with a two-step process, which is registration first and then delivery the second time. We wanted to avoid lines as far as queuing of lines with cars, drive-thrus, and DPS have also been very helpful in supporting these our organizations and other community help. But we also recognize the safety that is needed along the road.
Lorena Sabaklim is the co-leader of the youth ministry. She says the distribution process went smoothly.
The day of distribution, they just come in and they would have some time with the chaplains and, you know, have a little time of prayer as well, and then just come in and walk in to grab their distribution, their gifts from Samaritan's Purse, and they're underway.
Recipients of the tarps and lights say they are grateful.
We will use this in our garage. It's dropped by the wind.
So how's the family and everything?
Oh, just there's some water come inside, but we're fine.
Actually, me and my family unfortunately have to sleep outside because our house was flooded. And so the sun in the morning is very hot. And then the light, we could use the light because still no power and it's very dark at night.
Oh, so you guys sleep outside because it's kind of hot in the house?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Anything else? How are you guys coping with recovering?
We're doing good. We're staying positive as a family. We're doing more bonding, which is very good. So I think us being together is also keeping us through, you know, hard times.
Francis Ligda was a volunteer organizing the ticketing process.
We pray and we hope that we're being this light, this beam of hope to everyone that's feeling darkness in their life right now. So I know that with the help of the community and with prayers and trusting in God, we know that someday we're able to stand up again as one and basically pray for the success of Saipan once again.
You know, as God provides through Samaritan's Purse, of course, it's a faith-based organization. We just also want to share the truth of Jesus Christ. So this is a very good opportunity for us to just connect and really just be intimate with the people in the community and just also hear their stories, because a lot of people are suffering. And so as we, the volunteers, there's a lot of us too that have broken homes. But we're here, and we're here in the joy of the Lord, and we're just trying to bring that light to the people that, you know, are losing hope.
All right. So you can get just a little glimpse of it, and then we'll throw up a flyer here. Hope on Wheels, you know, bringing power, internet and hope, offering Wi-Fi access, charging stations for mobile devices, printing assistance for FEMA Red Cross forms, prayer and spiritual support. And so they have been going around just village to village and offering this hope, but also distributing Bibles, also ministering, again, handwritten letters, and then preaching, leading people to the Lord. This is our pastor's wife on this next slide, who was praying. He was charging his devices because our pastor would put all the machinery in his truck and go village to village and set up camp. But while he's waiting for his devices to get booted, she ended up leading him to the Lord. So isn't that fun? So anyway, it's been more than a month. We're still praying for them. They're doing great. You know, it's interesting how some of the hardest cultures sometimes produce some of the happiest people. I don't know what it is, but it's maybe they aren't trying to keep up with the Joneses. I don't know what it is, but that can come out of something that's cataclysmic with a smile and a happy disposition. So y'all have heard some of our stories. When we were there, we were always shake, rattling, and rolling one form or another. Y'all heard about our 1993 earthquake. And again, I'm going to tie this in to the message this morning. That was the front page of the, I was hosting a team from here. So we had Rice Brooks and Ron Lewis was on that team, and several, a bunch of students were there. But it was an 8.2. It says 8.1, but it was 8.2 for a full 60 seconds next aftershock. Now this hotel right here, you can see that one full floor crushed. And that's kind of where we'll be going today. But I don't think they built to code. Matter of fact, we found out that after the fact that their piers were hollow. They wanted to skimp on pouring in the concrete to save on cement. How many of you know if you cut corners, then Houston, we have a problem. And so sure enough, this hotel behind me here, they had to implode it because it was obviously compromised. A couple of other features here just in the news. This was when, so we were hosting Rice and Connie Reyes, who was a famous Filipina actress, and we filled up the Fine Arts Theater every night. And on the final night is when that 8-2. As a matter of fact, I was on the phone with Rice, and they were in a hotel. He said, I should have known that when they handed me my hotel key, it should have been a clue, because he said my room was 911. He goes, I should have queued in. I should have been a little, quicker to the draw. But while we're on the phone, all of a sudden it hit, and it's like earthquake, and then the lines are, completely cut. So anyway, a couple more here just to kind of give you an idea. That's our port that was split into another, just crazy, boulders, et cetera. Cliff, can you imagine being the one building on that cliff line? So also, you've probably heard a little bit about our the typhoons that we experience. Again, we would have at least one typhoon every year. Earthquakes were common. And matter of fact, some of the aftershocks were more dramatic than some normal earthquakes to some. So if you had an earthquake that was 8.2, you would have 7.0 aftershocks. How many of you know that aftershock? That's a quake in and of itself. So at any rate, we had typhoons all the time, but the most fierce, after we had just bought typhoon shutters for our house, and we kept our furniture and storage here, but after 5 years, we wanted to, for sake of permanence, ship it over there. We had just gotten our furniture there when the typhoon Paka hit and just ripped right through those typhoon-proof shutters, as it were. But and it was the strongest storm system recorded in history. We beat the New Hampshire Mountains, Mount Washington, by 5 miles an hour. The instruments recorded the winds at 236 miles an hour before the instruments broke. So the gusts could have been more, but the instruments broke at 236. But anyway, just a few pictures here. Paka pounds Guam, super typhoon. And that's the one that says broken the long-standing record, talking about the New Hampshire mountain for the past 63 years. So broke that, cars upside down, et cetera, et cetera. So it was a bit interesting. And so I wanted to launch from Psalm 61 this morning, just in view of what's going on in our Saipan church. And you can continue just to pray as they get back online, as power is fully restored and water is fully restored. But Psalm 61, here David, King David said this, hear my cry, O God, attend to my prayer. From the end of the earth, I will cry out to you. When my heart is what? When my heart is what? He didn't say if, but when. When my heart is overwhelmed, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Then he went on to say here in the next couple verses, for you have been my refuge, a strong tower against the foe. I will dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings. So, glory to God, regardless of the shake, rattle, and roll or whatever the situation, there is a way out and there is a place that we can get to. Now, of course, Jesus ultimately is that place. The book of James, it's a good doctrinal letter to help people maintain perspective so that when things in life hit, we won't wig out, but we have been forewarned, and then we're told how to view those moments to see the redemptive purpose of God. How many of you want something redemptive for any pain that you go through? You want double for your trouble, right? So James helps us with that. The book of James may be the earliest of the New Testament letters, written about AD 48. This letter was written by the brother of Jesus, one of the leaders of the church in Jerusalem. The seven books from James to Jude are called general letters because they are written to Christians everywhere in general versus a specific context or specific church, etc. So James tells us under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit in James 1, 2 through 4, consider it what? Pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. So we've said before that normally you would not put the phrase pure joy and trials in the same sentence. I mean, we see them diametrically opposed. But that's why perspective, y'all, is so important. Context is so important. Y'all hear me reference, you know, the whole deconstruction phenomenon where sometimes a young person will have something happen and they can't make heads or tails of it. They scratch their head and then they draw a line. And I mean, back in our day, people would just backslide. It wasn't as sophisticated as deconstructing our faith. You know, it's like when I was not right with God, I knew I was not right with God. I didn't have to make up an argument for not serving God. I knew what I was doing was wrong. Hello, anyone in the house? But this whole deconstruction phenomenon is where people develop an argument based on something whereby they say, ah, phooey, I don't believe it. I deconstruct, I completely, you know, tear that apart. And they're basically building a doctrine based on an experience instead of the Word of God. Because James, among other passages, told us how to navigate those moments. And those aren't everlasting moments. They're seasonal moments. But it's like, this is how you get through. And your faith is real important. So you can see these believers, their faith in the midst of the crisis, their smile, their countenance. It's not woe is me. Matter of fact, it reminds me of the underground house church movement in China. The leaders are always up and vibrant. They've been arrested. They've been imprisoned, sometimes decades on end. And upon release, someone will go right back into the marketplace and start preaching again. But oh, the joy of the Lord is just all over them. And as we would meet with them, we would just feel shamed. You know, it's like, oh, Lord, your quality of Christianity is so far superior to what we have in America, because they know in whom they've believed and they know their reward is secure. So James is just trying to help people here to remember. And I think we'd be wise to heed the exhortation when dealing with complicated life situations. He was giving people everywhere in any context a principle to hold on to. He was graciously giving people, by his letter, perspective. And he reminds us that there's a development underway, so it's not wasted in complicated moments. So again, those that abandon faith versus developing their faith would do well to spend some time here in the book of James. So yes, you know, you can be knocked down for a moment, but not knocked out, as we know. So if we're not going to be knocked out, let's don't knock ourselves out just because we got knocked down. Knocked down just means you got knocked down. But what would be the common sense rationale when you're knocked down? You just get back up, but you don't stay there and go, I just can't believe I got knocked down. Did you see that? Did you see that? Did you say I got knocked? That's great. Well, let's get back up. Amen. Not knocked out. So the spirit of these islanders, it's so, again, refreshing in the midst of their, not figurative storm, but their literal storm. And again, there are people all over the globe that have it much worse than we do. Yes, we have some chafing at religious liberty, and we need to champion religious liberty, but we have way more than what's normative around the globe. There are many closed nations to the gospel, so it needs to make us appreciate what we have. But there are many nations that it's just understood you're running for your life. And if they discover you, then you can be terminated. So literal storms, figurative storms, what to do? Is there any preventative preparation on the front end? Well, there is both preparation and prevention, not prevention from the storm, but from collapse. So it's an issue on how we build. What are the building blocks? I mean, why did the Guam Hotel have to be imploded? because they, I mean, can you believe they cut corners? I mean, they didn't fill the columns, the pillars with concrete, or any critical steps overlooked and sidestepped. They were. We have to ask, was it built to code? No. Were the builders wise? No. But are we wise? Hopefully so. The disciple Matthew had something to say along these lines. Matthew 7, if you'll join me there in verse 24 through 27. Hear Jesus speaking in the red. Therefore, everyone who what? Hears these words of mine and what? Puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on the rock. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall. Now, it beat against the house. So we're not denying the warfare. No weapon formed you will prosper. Though they be formed, yes, they will not prosper. It beat against the house. You can hear it. You can feel it. But it did not fall because it had what? Foundations. How? Where? On the rock. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, and it fell with a great crash. So a wise man and a foolish man building on the rock. And what was the context of that? Hearing and doing. How many of y'all know in the South got a whole lot of hearing? People say, you know, you shall know the truth and the truth will set you free. Well, yeah, if you're doing it. So it's not just the knowledge of it, it's the implementation of it. Amen? I mean, you can know the truth all day long and not step into it, lean into it, and build upon it, and it won't benefit you or I. So, yeah, you shall know the truth when you put those words into practice. Then there's a firm foundation, you see, under our feet. So the rock is the hearing and the doing. A lot of hearing. A lot of people can quote scripture backwards and forwards. Again, in the South, it's commonplace. But it's the doing that makes all the difference in the world. That's what establishes that foundation, that solid foundation of rock. Now, we can locate actual houses around the nation that were intentionally built into or around a massive rock formation. I mean, I know it can be a novelty house and all of that, but I think it's more than that. I think they wanted a secure buttress. There's a famous architectural attraction in Wisconsin built atop a chimney of pure rock. There's also a home in upstate New York built all around natural stone, and this prominent home is called the Rockin' House, built around a boulder and atop bedrock. So for construction purposes, bedrock provides the most stable base for major structures, and builders frequently drill down to bedrock to set deep foundations for tall buildings and bridges. Now let's read that same text, Matthew 7, in the Message translation here. Eugene Peterson, these words I speak to you are not incidental additions to your life, homeowner improvements to your standard of living. They are foundational words, words to build a life on. If you work these words into your life, you are like a smart carpenter who built his house on solid rock. Rain poured down, the river flooded, a tornado hit, but nothing moved that house. It was fixed to the rock. He goes on, but if you just use my words in Bible studies and don't work them into your life, you you are like what? A stupid carpenter who built his house on the sandy beach. When a storm rolled in and the waves came up, it collapsed like a house of cards. God bless Eugene Peterson. Here's my exhortation for us today. Find rock in your life. Find rock. Our lives are made up of many areas. You may be winning here in one area, gravely losing in this area. If you feel like you're losing in this area, find rock right here. It's intentional. You may need to drill down a little bit. Find rock. Can we say that out loud together? Go, find rock. I want you to, I'm going to play another video snippet. One of our youth in our church in Saipan at Life in the Sun lost her house, but on the front end. Don't you like to be prepared on the front end? Isn't it better if we're more preventative than responding to crisis after the fact? But on the front end, she said, we moved to a different place to stay. Also, our pastor there, he moved to a concrete hotel for a few days. Let's play that.
Hello, everyone. My name is Aryan Likta. I am one of the youth from Life in the Sun Saipan at ENC. And for today, I would want to share my experience from the typhoons in Lockwood that just hit Saipan. So, first of all, I just want to say that when we realized that the typhoon was coming in, my family and I, we decided to move to a different place to stay in. And then a few days later, like Wednesday morning, we found out through our neighbors that half of our roof fell off already. And then we were, of course, we were so sad, we were devastated. We realized like the things that we had lost. So what me and my family did is we just surrendered it to God. I remember having that quiet time with God that one night. And I was telling him that, okay, Lord, we may have lost the roof, we may have lost a lot of things, God, but as long as we have you, then we already have everything that we need. And praise God, because 2 days later, we already have a shelter to live in. He's used a lot of people in order to bless us. So praise God for that. I would also want to experience one of the serving opportunities that God has blessed me with, which is actually for today. So what me and my church did is that we went to different areas of the mostly deeply affected areas, and we distributed free lunch for them. And then we not only provided the physical needs, but we also provided them with spiritual needs. We asked them and we offered basically prayer. And then from one of the groups that we went to, one of the houses rather that we went to, the grandma, she asked us, oh, which church you came from? And I was like, oh, we're from Life in the Sun. So I also had an opportunity to serve the Lord and also to serve the community by cutting the tarps from Samaritan's Purse, as well as distributing them to areas that are in need alongside with the solar lights. And we also did another distribution when it comes to food. At the same time, we also decided to write down letters for them, even though we may not know who to give it to. We just ask the Holy Spirit to guide us with whatever the person will need. So that would be all. Thank you for listening. And God bless you.
Precious, sweet. But did you hear again on the front end, we moved to a different place. Again, get to rock. Whatever that means for you. Find rock. Do you need to move to a different place spiritually? Do our feet, do they feel secure? Because you know, whatever we're willing to live with, we'll live with. So it's like if the wall is sagging in an area, we want to drill there. Amen. To find footing there. And if it feels a bit sandy, we can do something. And thank God that when we do discover those places that are brittle, I'm always grateful that God gives us a gift of time. Amen. In other words, there's time to move on it, as it were. There's time to build it up. There is grace to act on it. There's time to fortify, time to bolster, time to build correctly. Our nation needs to find rock right now as a people. Dear God, we must find rock as a country. God, help us to do so. Our institutions, our schools, etc., need to find rock in these days. Our marriages need to find rock. Maybe our health, our finances need to find rock. Our pastor, again, seeing what was coming, because he's like right on the water. He's right on the Philippine Sea. So he could, his lightning fast mind, he could do the math. And he got out of there and he found a concrete hotel. He found rock. He made a move. He didn't just look at the situation and think, well, that's kind of bad. Dear me, that's bad. You know, Bon Jovi, Living on a Prayer. Well, we believe in prayer, but there might be some practical things too that we might want to do. And so he found a concrete hotel, and then right as it was ending or ended, he shot this little video snippet from a secure place. Streets are flooded, wind is blowing, but he was secure. He found rock. What does that mean to you? What does it mean for me? He made a wise move. So, you know, we can ask ourselves, you know, what might feel sandy right now? What feels a little bit unsure? And there's nothing wrong with the admission of it, because that's the starting point. You know, it's like this area right here, it's a little unsure. I feel like I need to drill here. It could go either way here, and I don't like that. I don't like that feeling. So what feels a bit unsure? What feels a bit insecure? What feels somewhat unstable? Maybe a bit wobbly, a bit uncertain. Well, we can drill. We can dig. Amen. God is certainly faithful, and stability is attainable. Amen. That's why David, with all of his crises, you know, he said, Lord, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. Why did he frame it that way? Because he's like, I ain't getting it done on my own. I got enemies all around trying to take my life. I'm living in caves. I mean, what did I do? I didn't sign up for this. You know, help a man, help a brother. Have y'all ever felt that? That's a good prayer. Dear God, help a brother, help a sister. Hello? And so he knew that he didn't have it within himself. I mean, here he was coronated king, but he didn't have the wherewithal to dig himself out. I mean, we were talking about our nation earlier in the inception. I mean, you ought to read about Washington, about crossing the Delaware with those troops. I mean, it made no sense that they weren't identified. But here comes the sovereign, and a lot of times they'll use terms referring to God as providence, capital P, or sovereign. God the sovereign, all of a sudden you had this cloud cover, this amazing fog that rolled in. Time after time after time, they found these weak colonialists. I mean, these Minutemen, they found answers that didn't make sense. They were a ragtag group of folk. I mean, they didn't have just all the pomp and circumstance as the armies of England. I mean, even the armies of England looked good. I mean, their jackets, those red coats. I mean, looking at them, you would want to run the other way. Their army formation, just their tactics and their organization. But here are these colonists untried, but there was a rock bigger. See, David said, Lord, lead me to the rock bigger. In other words, I'm looking at it, I'm doing the math, and everything in the natural, the way it's going right now, it doesn't look good. Lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I've got limitation of what I can bring to the table, and all I have, I bring it. Yes, I will encourage myself in the Lord. Remember when he was at Ziklag, and you know, and all the women, the children, the possessions had been taken, you know, and then his own men wanted to kill him. I mean, you know, he didn't even have, you know, any solidarity with comforters. You know, it's like, dear Lord, it's like, it's over. Lead me to the rock that's higher. It's like the water's here. My head's here. Lord, I need a higher rock. We all need a higher rock, not only at salvation, glory to God for that, but just in the stuff of life, in the daily grind. When you get the bad report, then you feel like, you know, I have a drowning feeling. No, get me to that rock that's higher than sea level right now. Get me to the rock that's higher than the predicament. Get me to a rock that's higher than what I see with my eyes and hear with my ears. All the reporting, it just seems like it's sideways or it's negative. Or this foreboding thing, maybe there's something coming up and it's maybe something on the job or some kind of an assignment or something that's been delegated to you. And it's like, even the thought of it, I just, you know, lose energy. Just even the thought of it. No, Lord, lead me to a rock that's higher. Sure footing, drill down. There is bedrock. There is bedrock. Amen. And that's why David was smart to pray that way, referring to the Lord as a refuge and a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run unto it and they are what? Yeah, it's smart. I'm going to run to the strong tower, not the brittle tower, the strong tower. There's one whom is strong. So anything insecure, anything a bit wobbly, faltering, uncertain, drill, baby, drill. Find the rock. Bedrock. It's attainable. I want us just to, first of all, something that may be chafing or a challenge where you feel like this area, like all these boxes are checked, but I got a couple of areas that I'm on the struggle bus. I mean, maybe it's an issue of confidence. Maybe it's an issue of health. Maybe it's an issue of relational something that's gone sour. Maybe it's something in your spiritual walk, whatever it may be, just consider that just for a moment. We don't stare at it. We just acknowledge that, just where things feel brittle. All right, have you got that? Or is everyone here on cloud nine? You know, you got that? All right, now I just want to put up this image. I just want you to, let's just look on this image just for a bit. Just look on this, the Rock of Gibraltar. It dominates the entrance to the Mediterranean Sea from the Atlantic. It's massive and it's imposing. So your issue, your challenge is real, but just look on that for context, just for a moment. Just stare at that. Think about your challenge. Now look at that. And may faith arise. Confidence arise. Lord, lead me to the rock that's higher. God is so much bigger, so much more vast. Hopefully the image of that will eclipse. You know, Paul talked about the small momentary trials. He said it cannot be compared to the glory to be revealed. There's a rock that's higher. There's a rock that's higher. Saipan, devastation, but in the midst of it, there are people, i.e. the church, that have built on the rock. And what are they doing? Not only saving their own lives, they're giving hope away, life away, ministry away, Bibles away, meals away, tarps away, leading people to the Lord. In other words, it's not just enough, but more than enough. He's more than enough. My need will be met. He'll take care of me. But then I turn, I pivot, and I help someone else. I mean, we're still praying for the power to come on, still praying for water. But there's a light in the midst of it because people knew how to build because they heard and they did. And now they're throwing a lifeline to others. We have that same lifeline. Lord, we just pray, God, in the name of Jesus, and whatever is faltering, help us to find rock. Just in your heart, say, I am finding rock in this area. I am finding footing in this area. I'm drilling down, and God's going to work with me. He's going to help me. Bedrock, stability. The Rock of Gibraltar. Well, there's one that's mightier than that. Consider it pure joy. There's development going on. Matthew 7, we hear. And we do. Find rock. Some of us need to move to a different place spiritually, like that little girl and the youth and the pastor. He had to get to a different location. So figuratively speaking, maybe there's something where you need to shift and move something to find the footing you need. Make the move and let God hold you, protect you, preserve you, because you're building on the rock.